I guess I'd like to start by hearing what kind of story you'd like to tell about how this consolidation has gone. You know, things that you're pleased with, the benefits you think that they're there for emergency responders, taxpayers, the communities, and things that haven't gone so well. So, and I talked to Brian fairly extensively about much of this, so whoever wants to start.
You can wax.
Sure. First. I think it's going well. The project has created the most cohesive communication system that we've ever had in Scott County. We are seeing a much bigger picture than we've ever had the capability before with four different answering points.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's significant efficiencies built in over the long haul. The city of residents in the city of Davenport aren't paying twice for dispatch services anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying once. The city has taken those savings and done a number of things. We've added 9 police officers in the last 5 years. Our crime rate has dropped by half, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up 2 libraries and a rec center,
mm-hmm.
And we cut the tax rate. So, I think the big picture is heading in the right direction. We have an implementation issue with one component of the software package that we need to work through.
Decker?
You know, we're as pleased as we had anticipated we would be at this point in time. I think the cord that Craig mentions, we didn't have to replace all of our radios yet, but now all of our radios are P25 compliant, which is a federal law
mm-hmm.
that we were all going to be under in 2013, 2014.
January 2013.
Also, every radio in Scott County is P25 compliant.
Mm-hmm.
We never had a system that in the middle of Bix and Ragbri that if we needed to all be on frequencies that affected those events, we could go to easily. To Craig's point, from a big picture perspective, lots of things have happened as a result of this that wouldn't have happened before. So we're very pleased.
Mm-hmm.
And the same, we made this argument with our city council that if we stayed in our own system, we would be taxed twice, and we're not. I think that's an important.
It's huge.
Component part that a lot of people forget that.
Could you explain that, please?
I can explain it.
Okay.
Scott County taxed all its citizens for the Scott County dispatch, and they dispatched for the county and all the small cities. Well, all Davenport residents and tax base and Bendorf's residents and tax base paid for that dispatching service that they did not receive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just on the county's tax bill. So it's on the bill once, and everyone's paying. So if you were out in the county, you probably kind of liked it the old way when Davenport and Bendorf was subsidizing your dispatch calls. But our Board of Supervisors thought it was important enough to lower the overall tax rate. And I think that's what we can never lose sight of is the consolidated rate. And that's where all our governmental units are on one tax bill. When a resident sees what they pay, they don't go, oh, wow. Davenport went down and the county went up, or they say, oh, this is how much I pay. So our jobs is to make sure that's the lowest possible bill possible.
Mm-hmm.
I can add a little bit too. With all of these agencies going together in this consolidation, there was $6 million worth of grants that were obtained that they couldn't have done separately to be able to get equipment and stuff like that, not to include the $2.1 million, I believe, Mr. Malin. Yeah, for the fiber optic connectivity through the Quad
right.
Cities, that's another 2 point. But so about $8 million
mm-hmm.
was obtained in that process.
So you heard from the kind of the public safety city side. From a county perspective, this building is I don't want to say more than just consolidated dispatch, but this is an emergency center.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought all of our emergency services for the county here. And the room that you're in right now, you probably already know, is going to take on tornado number 5 and our computer backup. So for the county, this is our disaster recovery for not only SEC, but for the county, for the city of Davenport and Bendorf. All of them can use the room as a disaster recovery. You know, that's where all their data can be. We won't lose it. It won't be Cedar Rapids in a flood. And those are the kinds of things we were able to piece together with those kinds of grants to make that happen.
That's that area I showed you, that
right.
open, that row of racks.
Right.
What do we call that, continuity of business?
Yes, that's a big deal, actually.
Craig mentioned the one phase of technology. I believe that's the CAT RMS, correct, that you were talking about?
Well,
the records portion of CADs.
Right.
Okay.
So it's a, what, about a $2.5 million package?
Mm-hmm.
The records portion of it's about the $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So the other portion of it is what runs dispatch.
Is that the only outstanding concern that you have or thing that needs to be addressed?
From a practical standpoint, yes. Mm-hmm. The record system isn't where we need it to be. In order to do our operations as efficiently as we did in the past. We had City of Davenport had a record system that we built ourselves. And it functioned well. As we brought all these entities together, that's been both the challenge and the opportunity, that all these entities do things a little bit differently, and we need to make sure that each entity is able to do the things that they specifically need that may be a little bit different from others. That's the challenge. The opportunity is that as we learn by coming together, there are entities that are adopting best practices from others. So over the long haul, it's a much better operation. You know, we also have dispatch services becoming its own distinct profession, and having this building here means that you put the people who are best at directing emergency services to where they need to be in one place, and having them be able to connect to others and see the big picture. And that was we were never able to do that before.
Mm-hmm. And the continuity of that will come in time, and it's partially already coming, is this: the interrelationships between the departments that are on scenes that need to have those relationships will get better, stronger, and I think particularly of the movement from a client to patient status, from fire to EMS to hospital. It's all part of a systemic situation, and we used to hand off kind of like, I do my part and I get away. There's a transfer now that's occurring, and we're working towards that as well, so that the patient, as they call in, perhaps get pre-arrival instructions, that's seamless, and the seamless part of moving them from ground to ambulance to hospital is becoming seamless as well. And all of that's in the interest of the victim / patient / client, whatever way you term that. That big picture is gelling now as well.
You talked about some of the emergency response. How might that work in a police environment or law enforcement environment, or that interrelationship?
Well, there are sometimes joint scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There are sometimes joint commands. There are sometimes event situations where I'll think of one, perhaps a multiple drug raid that involves co-defendants or co-conspirators. There's an ability to communicate between those incident commanders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way to use personnel, for instance, multiple SWAT teams that can move to same frequency for the service of search warrants. The BICS RAGBRAI, I mentioned that already. you could, I don't know that we did it, but you could take 10 Bettendorf officers assigned to Bix or Ragbri. It's just a matter of flipping a switch on the belt, and they're part of that event squad. It did happen, it does happen with the presidential visits.
Mm-hmm.
They moved to event channels for that.
Twice since we opened up.
And so the Bettendorf officers that were waiting for the motorcade, the Davenport, the lead officer was Lieutenant Struckman, the Sheriff's Department was the agency in charge, and the Bettendorf officers on the ground were the ones, as they moved through Bettendorf, guarding that situation. So they were all on that frequency that was assigned to that event.
Mm-hmm. The criminals don't stay in Wind City during an event. I mean, we saw that when the person got out of the hospital accidentally in Iowa City and made it through Davenport and Bettendorf. You have one dispatching center that's taking and handling and hearing all those calls and patching it all together.
And
that's a big deal.
And then on the backside of the, to the point Craig made earlier on the record side of this, once the record is established and the jacket file for the individuals in there, officers in the field, officers who are investigators, be able to pull that up and see all that's happened. And it could be that there was an event last night where this guy's name popped up, not in a crime-related thing. Maybe he was a accident victim or something, and a new address floats up.
Mm-hmm.
The ability for the intelligence to flow in the system, I believe, will be there, and that will be advantageous. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet with that piece. We're working there. But that was one of the things we conceived, and not us, the three of us, our chiefs and the sheriff conceived.
Just for the record, during the lull, because it's being reported, Starkman has not been demoted. He's a captain.
Okay.
Just in case he's listening.
Oh, sorry.
Right,
did I say...
Lieutenant.
I'm sorry.
You worked with him too long.
I worked when I was a civilian playing baseball against him before I became a cop. So at that time, he was a corporal, I believe.
Brian has said it takes a full year to get the kinks worked out in a consolidation such as this. What other things besides what you've already talked about do you think would you like to see happen, need to happen, for this to be its potential to be realized?
Well, you know, if it takes a year and we're 6 months in, this is the part of the movie where this is the part where the anxiety is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then then there's the resolution at the end, and there's a happy ending. That's we're at that point where we're going to be focusing on what our issues are. We're going to have the assistance of the consultant that actually helped us write the specs join us in this time period. I suspect that we'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've interviewed Brian earlier, right?
Yes.
We still have the personnel efficiencies to gain here. We haven't gotten to the point where we have our call takers and everyone's
right.
in the position. So we're still needing to bleed that together, and that literally takes quite a bit of time. They first have to get familiar with that sitting here, sitting there, and then you have to meld that together. So that's working while I would think that our two city administrators here probably are just hoping. They're not focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but that still is going to be a big deal, because that's when you can level out and know exactly what your personnel is and get that efficiency of the right number of dispatchers
and
it's calls.
In progress now, that
uh-huh.
training.
And
it takes time.
And that's an efficiency you could not gain having four separate operations.
Do you anticipate that in the long run, the number of dispatchers will be fewer than it was with four agencies separately?
You still have to handle that same amount of call load traffic. The efficiency that you see, the answer to that question is for personnel, probably not. what they do have the capability, what they couldn't do before, is I remember, like, take for instance when I first started here in 2008, that big windstorm that came through, those centers were, especially Bettendorf. Yeah, Bettendorf was loaded up. They had one dispatcher on that night.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, we actually have people that can swing and move and shift as on the fly, so we can move and change people around. And each year that goes by, your calls for service increase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys see statistics from police and fire departments that they just increase.
If you go to the original study, I think what they pointed out was Davenport was understaffed for the mm-hmm. number of calls. And this is balancing it out. The other thing is that you're going to have dispatchers not needing a lot of overtime hours
mm-hmm.
and holdovers. And so you're going to get optimum personnel usage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want, because you don't, just like you don't want a tired police officer, you don't want a tired dispatcher.
And if I could maybe make an analogy, we, and I think Davenport before, or maybe almost the same, went to one-man garbage packers. So we had, in some cases, two and three guys doing what one guy does now. We're doing with as many as we did with those three, but we've covered a lot more ground and will cover more ground with those one guy, one man packer. So our ability to sustain our costs longer and not refill is what we're doing. And so in terms of pure numbers, the numbers are probably the same. Our ability to sustain that number for a longer period of time is happening with this. So
we'll be able to answer more calls and cover more territory with better better situational awareness than we ever would be able to separately.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a fact. The dispatching that were tied to the police departments in the cities were also in the tied to the policeman's pay. And county dispatchers and county pay is lower.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have people for a few years that they may never in their total career get a raise.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have optimized this to a civilian dispatching job, and it's being paid at a different rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it benefits the taxpayer. Not that it's a bad rate, but it's a different rate.
One of the other efficiencies, once we get that cross-training that we're in place, and we have the call takers and the dispatchers, what'll take place at that point, let's say somebody calls in for a house fire. And when they call in for a house fire, that call taker that takes a call, when they enter it into the CAD system, it fires it off to all the agencies that are needed simultaneously. So police will be notified, fire will be notified, EMS will be notified. In the case, what happens, you know, under the previous centers, when a dispatcher took that call, they'd have to dispatch the police, the fire, and the ambulance, and that happens one after another. In this case, it happens simultaneously. So your speed of dispatch will happen at a quicker pace as well.
Mm-hmm. Since cost has been mentioned a couple times, the initial 2006 study that I think you cited said savings of $4.6 million over 20 years. Was the estimate at that point? Is that number still valid, or has it changed?
I don't think, well, I'll be honest with you, I don't think we've recomputed that number.
Mm-hmm.
That study was a guideline, and it did steer us to the 28E and the consolidation.
I can't conceive of how four standalone operations could potentially be as efficient over the long haul as a centralized operation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a standard business strategy to consolidate your expenses
mm-hmm.
and optimize your resources. That's what's going on here. So I cannot conceive that over 10 years or 20 years that this will cost more money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unfathomable.
Yeah, the operation.
I mean, the city of Davenport reduced our tax levy, added 9 cops, opened up a rec center and 2 libraries, and reduced our tax levy.
How much did the city reduce the tax levy?
By a nickel.
nickel. So 5 cents per thousand?
Yes.
Okay.
And we lowered ours a quarter.
Okay. But the saving, yeah, but, this
but
is his, not fair.
But to Greg's point.
The savings to the city of Davenport was about $2 million. Did you hear all the other services
yes.
provided?
Right.
They
nine
did
tops.
A quarter, but now tell them what you did in addition.
We transferred 50 cents over into the debt service levy, and we've increased our capital projects budget. Previously, we were doing an annual amount of $8 million. We went to $22 million last year, $22 million this year, and $16 million projected next year. So that's about $14 million more in each year for the 2 years, and $8 million more after that. So we've done $64 million worth of projects that we wouldn't have done in that period of time.
So the current tax levy for this is for the special levy is 90 cents, 90.2 cents. Is that correct?
97, I thought.
Okay, so in terms of actual tax rates that somebody in Bettendorf or Davenport is saying, those are higher total, correct?
Even yes. When,
okay.
There.
Okay, and so your argument is, well, you're paying more in taxes, but you're getting efficiencies through the consolidated dispatch, and we're able to use that money for other things. So while your tax rate has gone up, we don't think it's gone up as much as it might have otherwise, or alternatively, you're getting more than you would have otherwise. Is that a
yes.
fair?
I think that's a very fair statement.
Okay.
And while because it's a consolidated levy for the county, the savings that we receive from the sheriff's department, which I think translated into about 30 or 40 cents, we actually, that came out of our budget.
And so you lowered
the
your...
The county decided to provide no additional services other than being the host taxer mm-hmm. of SEC.
So, but the county tax levy outside of this actually went down, correct, by
mm-hmm.
a couple cents?
No, it was more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what off the top of your head?
I think it was like 23 cents
okay.
in total.
Now, the original estimate of the cost on the tax levy was 53 cents, wasn't it?
I think
that's a bad number. I think that was a number that was originally put out based on the Bettendorf dispatch number, because that was our transfer out of the police department budget into the capital budget. It was 53 cents, and I think that's where that number came from.
What was missing in that number, and I have Ray Rearson in my predecessor's notes,
mm-hmm.
was prior to the determination that radios were going to be part of this, that was a $10 million bond issue.
And that accounts for 40-odd cents?
That accounts for a lot of it,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it. The other thing was that it that number was derived before they made a determination to have emergency management here,
mm-hmm.
Which is the room out here and the room going over here, and another still building that that we're adding on to the back of Tremont. So I think that was an early number, really looking at just dispatching in and of itself.
I think it's... Dee had mentioned it's dated early. I think it's Dee mentioned earlier, too, that original study done by CTA was a guideline. Some of the recommendations that they made me as a director doing this before coming into it, they had made some of their guideline stuff that they put in there was that they could put all four centers together in an area equivalent to 7,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's untrue. I built a center in Chicagoland that was smaller than this.
Mm-hmm.
Had 9 council positions, and we were at over 7,000 square feet just with that packed in there.
Mm-hmm.
So what I seen when I originally applied for the position is that some of the statistical numbers were great, but it led me to question some of the information that was contained within. My question was, is whoever put that report together, did they actually do a consolidation before that? That was my assumption.
I think the dispatch they looked at in Wisconsin early on.
CTA, you mean?
All of the elected officials, and Craig, you went on that trip when you took the buses and you went to Wisconsin. I'm trying to think the name of that town.
Was it Waukesha?
Yeah, Waukesha was kind of the model that the consultant used. They're in an expansion mode. They can't that, you know, so it wasn't even square footed off what they had, and they're too small. So I think we hired a architectural firm and a consultant that worked with them for this building that went through a very detailed functional analysis. And one of the things that we wanted to make sure of was, one, that it would fit our needs today and that we could expand it. And that's what the policy board decided to build.
So the difference between that original estimate and the current situation would be three things: emergency management, the size of the building being grossly underestimated by a factor of four, and then the radius. Is that accurate?
I
don't know that I'd use the word grossly, but...
The difference between 7,000 and 28,000 is pretty significant.
But you're adding the EOC, you're adding the warrant section.
Okay.
You know, this was what they said for dispatch.
They had no idea that warrant. You know where warrants came from? We were building a police station, and I was a project manager over there, and one of the things Scott County and Davenport said is, what else can we collaborate in so we don't have to build it in this police station?
Mm-hmm.
Well, warrants was one of them. They're taking the county's evidence in the basement. We made sure that the bookings and the jail and all of that could be done in over at the county side and not on the city side. The city gave up a lot. Not gave up. They didn't have to build a lot of building
mm-hmm.
because of it. So while Bi-State was coordinating a study over here, we were doing a lot of other coordination of services. And those weren't taken into account because it didn't all come together. That wasn't what that study was for.
And I think, too, with the there's a national requirement, or an NCIC, National Crime Information requirement, that warrants that we have to have those on-site at this facility.
We talked about that.
So nowhere in that study did it indicate that. So legally, we're bound to have that there. And you can't take 3,000 warrants and put them in, you know, one or two file cabinets somewhere.
Right.
You have to have space to be able to put those in.
Shifting gears a little, some of the concerns, problems that have been aired include, you know, things about lost files, have people having difficulty entering reports, things like that. Talking to Brian and Gloria previously, they indicated that there were some software issues and some human issues. What was the process of training from SECC down to the officer level? And if you had to do it over again, would you approach training differently? Because I think when we talked before, it was... there was some indication that perhaps people hadn't been trained properly or hadn't taken to the training, or the training didn't take to them, or...
Okay. Would you like me to take that one? Okay. What we went through with New World Systems is they went through a process of what they called train the trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Each agency supplied a representative that was trained by New World Systems, and those personnel were to go back and organize and train the people within those departments. If we look back at it, maybe the thing that we might do is might have done differently looking back at it at this point is maybe we would have spent the extra money to put New World Systems in there to go and train around and train each of the entities, because then the training might have been more consistent. You know, because when you train people, their styles and things might be a little bit different. And we had some time constraints too, so I'm not blaming it, you know, specifically on the different types of people at each agency. So there's a lot of...
I think the other thing that we've learned, at least I've learned through the last 90 to 120 days, is that we have very sophisticated agencies, and we have agencies that are not as sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're training the trainer, but there's only two personnel, and they're just they haven't been trained the trainer before, because most of the agencies in these organizations, people have either gone through processes where they've gone through software updates and grace, so they got a better understanding of how to learn it and how to convey it. Very difficult in these really, really small organizations. And so Brian's approach may have made it smoother.
Craig and Decker, do you think your departments had less difficulty than, say, some of the smaller departments because you've probably done training as... probably pretty regular?
Sure. Yes, and as the agency that has the most complex needs, our ability to convey how complex our operation is and how it's different from others was something that I think the team has now embraced, and they understand that. I think there was some earlier thought that we were being difficult because we like to be difficult. We were being difficult because we have a difficult job. So I'm confident that our personnel are sophisticated enough to use the new software. We have to make sure on our side that the software is as sophisticated and as reliable as we need it.
Would you say that most of the requests for new features have come from Davenport?
I think it's across the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, like he indicated, it's, you know, they have different systems in play. They had one in play, which I think the other agencies kind of agreed is kind of interesting, is the rental nuisance program. I don't believe, from what I've heard from the software vendor or other people that I know, that anybody's had that in play in the country. And so what they have is, it's an ability for them that when they get officers out there going to these nuisance calls and problematic calls, it's a way for them to be able to make and track that and then contact the actual owners of the building and get a little bit of enforcement in that area. So that's very interesting, but it's a new, you know, so something like that, brand new, that's got to be designed and built up, is going to be a little bit more problematic than something that just came off the shelf.
New World did that, or is doing that?
Yes.
And they're writing the interface to it.
Correct, yeah. And that's been one of the ones that, you know, something new like that has been a little bit more problematic. So there's a couple interfaces that agencies will have that are different from others that create a little bit more work and a little bit more, you know, time that you have to be able to get it up and working.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to note, we were on the CODI system fully updated. Scott County was on the CODI system not fully updated. Davenport was on its own records management system. Our guys didn't like the CODI system from the conversion they had from the record system before. So when we first took over, they didn't like this one because it wasn't like CODI. Hmm. That's the nature of that beast. We had difficulty with the field reporting initially. It was crashing, and we figured that out.
Meaning an officer's trying to write a report in a car.
Write the report, and then the report would crash on them, and they had to start all over. We figured that out with New World and got a fix. That stopped. So the merge from the field to the LERMS, the record system, could occur. Then there were some issues at the record system that we hadn't figured out, and some of the fixes
the merge wasn't happening, correct?
Right. Then reaffected the original mobile. So to Craig's point, and I would liken it like this: in a crawl, walk, run category, we stood up and got wobbly, but we're still standing, but we're not walking yet. But we're pretty much not crawling either. So we're working our way forward, but we hope to get to running, and I think we're going to get to running. We're not there yet.
And your department is still using CODI to run license plates, right?
No, we're totally in the New World system. What we did was we went back to an interface called Mobile Cop.
Okay, yes.
And a lot of people believe, by virtue of us saying we went to Mobile Cop, that we went back to the old system.
Right.
We did not. We never went back.
But you went to Mobile Cop to run license plates.
That's correct.
Okay, and you're still doing that, correct?
We're now testing the New World interface with four separate people. One of them is what we call our field expert. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that trained everybody, and he's got a comfort level with the New World that he believes it's going to be able to cross over, which will help with now the IBERS portion coming up, the incident-based system that comes next for your reporting to the state and the feds. Mm-hmm. So to Craig's earlier point, their process is here, and there have been some pushbacks or setbacks as we move forward. But when they rewrite over that and get the ultimate fix, it appears to be working. We're not crashing at all now. Mm-hmm. With the guys figured that out, a combination of our guys and the New World guys, we're fine in the field. We're going from the field report to the merge to LIRMS, I would say, without incident now.
Yeah. The interface, the NCIC interface, is first in state. So that's not just New World, but that's the state responding to be able to make those two softwares talk.
Meaning it's New World's first, I think, what you said.
Yeah. First
New World's,
state. Yeah.
New World's first
software in the state. So okay. This our state system, both of them have to do some programming and working together.
Right, and
so
I think that Gloria talked to all
that being a little bit choppy should not have been unexpected.
And I was not that big of a state, so you don't see a lot of... The only communities in a state that would be even sizable or capable of taking the size of the system on would be Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, maybe Dubuque. So there's not a lot that this type of system would be coming into. So, you know, if you go into Chicagoland, you'll probably see 10, 15, 20 of these things up and running. So we wouldn't have been first in state, and those type of things would have been ironed out.
Right.
But with being first in state, there's every CAD system, RMS system that I've seen like this, first in state is always kind of a...
Then the other thing, which I'm not an expert at, is that the kind of best practices is that more of the reporting and filling out of all the field work is done in the car. Mm-hmm. And this system clearly shows that. I mean, the IBR, putting things in little boxes, a lot more of that work that used to go in and to be done in records is done in the field. Well, heck, I got a system that, you know, is crashing on me. I got to fill out all these boxes. This is not...
Yeah, so
I feel for the officer.
People are resistant to change. And
guessing they're still going to hold on to that portion of it.
Mm-hmm. Sheriff Conard said on KDBQC there probably should have been a lot more testing of the different applications. We're still having trouble getting the different applications that are fixed tested because that's above and beyond normal workload. That was about a little more than a month ago. Would there have been a way to test these alongside existing systems or to do a different sort of testing, or could the testing have been better of these so that some of these glitches, some of them that do affect potentially safety of officers or the losing of reports, duplicating of work, could there have been better testing?
I'll start with this in regards to the comment on officer safety. None of this that we're dealing with deals with officer safety. This is all about report writing and stuff.
Here's the part that I understand affects officer safety. Before the kinks got worked out in connecting to the NCIC, mm-hmm. the state, you know, a police officer approaches a car, runs the plate, doesn't get.
But you know what they do? You know what they do?
What?
Just like any other officer does, they pick up the mic, they call the dispatch center, and have them run it.
Okay,
that's not. Yeah,
that did not result in any safety concerns for the officers.
No.
Okay.
No,
I think some of the officers said that.
Yeah,
were they wrong?
Well, it wasn't to the point you made earlier. It wasn't what I did 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So now, if it's not working the way I did it 2 days ago, I leap from that to this. They weren't. They were accustomed to doing it now in this way, so that became the new practice. When I was first a young cop, we didn't have all that, mm-hmm. so you only did it by radio. When you gravitated to the laptop and you did it on the laptop, that was the only way you did it. You didn't come back to the radio. So it was different. The ability to call it in was still there, and the CAD system was working in that regard. Mm-hmm. So is it a perception? As we all know, some perceptions become realities. Mm-hmm. And not crossing back over maybe for some guys wasn't the norm. I think when you asked the question earlier, if you did something over again, would you do it differently? I think I would have said we probably would have tested either more or simultaneously more so that we wouldn't have had, say, the crashes occurring.
Mm-hmm. I think we would have.
We could have figured that out.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
Keep in mind, too, when all of this was firing off, we had 25 other projects in play that were coming to make this come together. And so we had a lot of different things taking place. And so there was some time crunches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You bet if we could have pushed it out 6 months to a year, I think we would have entertained more of the testing.
And if, you know, if I look back on it, I think we would have hired Delta Works to stay with us, because that's what they, that they were the person that negotiated the contract. That was the consultant that would have gone through the testing with us and said, you got it. This is what you're buying. This is what you're buying, and validating it and knowing from a bigger perspective, because that's what they do, that that's the way that should work, versus I don't think that's working right. And it's just, no, this is a different practice. It's your business process that has to change to that. Mm-hmm. So I think that probably would have helped us through, and we would have saw some red flags sooner.
I agree.
So why wasn't, and you've alluded to time crunches, why wasn't that path taken?
Okay, well,
hindsight,
exactly. We're looking at it hindsight. We have to rely on a certain level with the vendor as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we're being led down the road that this will work, of course, we have to believe in those. They came out on top. They were chosen by all of the representatives to be the outcome. I'm not going to defend the company. I think that there's some improvements that could have been made there as well. But what we do have is we strongly feel that we have a company that's willing to admit to some of that, and also work hard to come to a resolution. If we didn't feel as a group at this point that was worth it, we'd be looking at different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, out of a project that's this big, we have like that much work that we're still working on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 90% of this is worked, more than 90% is worth.
Yeah, this building came together like nobody's business. I mean, this is
phone systems, the radio systems.
All of those.
Yeah. So and those type of things, in my experience, like the radios, the building, the phone systems, they all have issues too when you first fire them off. But those actually level out faster because they're not a $2.5 million software program that serves, you know, all these agencies in different various manners and stuff. It's very intricate.
You're bringing a dozen or more jurisdictions together, and to have, they have added communications capability as we speak, right now. The singular issue that we're working on is this records management software, making sure that addresses the needs of the number of jurisdictions of completely disparate size and sophistication. That's not an easy task. It's one of the tasks, I could be wrong about this, but it's one of the tasks that is sort of an invisible task. You know, getting a building up, buying the hardware, getting, mm-hmm. You can check that off. Is that working, that working, that working? Until you're doing it at scale, it's practically impossible to know if it will work perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You got to flip the switch sometime, and then.
And there's not a lot of models out there. You know, from Brian's experience, consolidated dispatch, not consolidated records.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to find out very many centers with consolidated records.
Usually, what a consolidated center does is they take into those different records management systems. And a lot of consolidated centers will also take into the different radio systems. So that's what the consolidation part is. But when we pulled that, we pulled the entire radio networks in.
Instead
of
just being a hub where you're taking the Davenport call,
yeah,
where you're taking the Davenport record here, shooting it to the Davenport system, you have to put all those systems together.
Yeah, well, actually, it's all into one.
Right.
Instead of just, for me to have gotten an interface that would have worked to their system, to their two systems, would have been a little bit easier. But the problem is that nobody could have shared information, and they couldn't do that previously. Now, when he makes, or not he, when one of your officers makes it, when you get the urge, every once in a while, or not every once in a while, when one of his officers makes an arrest, he'll be able to see it.
And
see, they can't do that now.
And to be honest with you, we had that system in 1975 through 1980, the Bi-State Regional Commission.
But you had to pay 10 cents every time you hit the button enter.
And we went away from it because it was too costly.
Yeah. It was IBM. This room three times was the IBM center for this stuff.
So to go back to an earlier point,
it's crazy.
you can say with confidence that no officer's safety has ever been compromised during this transition because of some hardware, software training problem?
Do you have any examples for us?
I do not. I'm asking.
Neither do I.
Okay.
Neither do I. I think another thing, too, is that, and I'm not a police officer, but what comes to mind to me is that an officer, I was in the military for many years, you are trained with that situational awareness that there's a hazard at all given times. Mm-hmm. So I think that that has to play into part of it, that something that you may get is some information, but you always, they have that gun, they're ready to react to a situation at a moment's notice.
Elizabeth Goodsit's story on KWQC had some kind of strange numbers on bookings 2010 compared to 2011. First 5 months, she had them as...
I'm going to take that one on.
I'll remind you. In January 2011 to 2010, up 14, up 1, up 106, up 48. That's through April. Then down 55 in May, down 201 in June, and down 131 in July. So how about it?
See how well the new system works?
I give the Board of Supervisors a monthly number on prisoner days, mm-hmm, and prisoners. I have a three-year running thing because it was, every time we have the BIX, we have a sweep, and it's overcrowded. We pay, you know, as a prisoner, we pay a lot of money for prisoners. There is no rhyme nor reason. 2 years ago, not last Christmas, but the year before, our average was 190 for 3 or 4 months in a row. Tell me why it was 190. Did everybody take a vacation that had blue shirts on? So she took something that's not, you cannot validate a 4 or 5 month period out of the whole thing. It's still low. Is it still low? It's still, but the average.
I thought she said that the phrase in the report was bookings, which would suggest entrances rather than prisoner days.
Yeah, I look at the bookings too. Mm-hmm. I look at the bookings every morning. That's my wake up call on my telephone.
Were her numbers accurate?
Huh?
Were her numbers accurate?
Yeah, but she didn't compare it to the previous six. She compared it to the previous six. She didn't compare it to the same period of the year before, or the same period of the year before, or the same period of the year before. She statistically did not compare anything.
She
just picked out a number and felt really good about it. And that's what I've been hearing for 3 years, and that's why we're tracking it all, because there is no one cause of why bookings go up or why bookings goes down. Why do we carry 9 juveniles for like 14 months and now have 0? Where's the juvenile crime? I mean, I'm just saying that it's much more complicated
than bookings. It's
my
kids next door to me.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah,
She didn't validate.
I'm not saying it's statistically significant. It just looked, it seemed an awfully convenient coincidence. If it were, you do not believe. I guess the direct question is, you do not believe that bookings were down compared to the previous year because of consolidation. For example, officers spending more time doing reports, getting familiar with the system, blah, 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 et cetera.
I asked that question, I believe, with a whole bunch of police chiefs and other people present. And they said they're not, I mean, that's, they're arresting people. I mean, they're not doing their job. They don't really like what was happening when they were losing reports.
You should ask Elizabeth to
yeah, but
to
I'd like
to, her
yeah.
analysis somehow. We can't speak to that.
Could you get me the bookings for, you know, however far back you want to go?
Can go on the website yourself if you want to spend that time at it.
I will.
But the average number of people in jail in our metropolitan area for the size of Scott County is 250. We've been hovering around 240 for about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, from July until like November, we were at 330. Why? No one can tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
You go back the previous year, you're at 200. So it'd be interesting. You take the 3 years and you tell me if you can find any correlation to any of these dips and spikes.
Sunspots.
I'm looking for one.
Wintertime.
I'm tracking it just because of that.
And I would just say this from experience in that field. When I was a detective 1 year, we arrested two guys that were notorious burglars between Rock Island and Danport Pender. Those two guys went away for a strong period of time. Our burglaries went down radically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could we say that they were the only people doing burglaries? No, probably couldn't. Could we say they were responsible for all the burglaries? No, we couldn't. But it was an interesting correlation. When those two guys were gone, how much the number went down everywhere. Now, it could have been that there were a couple other guys that coincidentally happened that were there as well. But there are a lot of factors that go into these numbers. Just as if you look at certain months, OWIs go up. We've got law enforcement money that comes down from the state. A whole lot of enforcement happens during a confined period of time. You might see that month totally out of whack compared to other months.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could tell you, well, what happened back then?
It's just that the numbers align so neatly with the consolidation that it looks like, well, there must be some correlation.
But you went to college. You had to take, maybe you didn't take statistics. Oh, my Jesus. You cannot do what she did.
No, I understand.
It blows me away. Hence why I've been tracking it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, I mean, it is the number one expense in the county.
Mm-hmm.
The number one expense. And there is no real way that you can say what goes up and what goes down.
Are you applying for a license for an additional channel from the FCC for the radios? Is that correct?
We have for the Walcott area.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that related just to, so that's not related to the system, it's not system-wide, it's a specific geographic
area? Just in one area,
okay.
Correct.
So you don't have any capacity issues with radios?
No, not at all. Okay. Bix Ragbri was a very good example of that. We tagged 100,000 transmissions that day off of the
send him that.
Yeah, off the
wild.
Davenport, the Bettendorf, and the Walcott site. The Walcott site is the one that we were having a problem with. And see, we didn't apply for that. We leased the space off that system. It was Raycom's responsibility to make that happen. And so what happened, they had a four-channel site out in Walcott, which they had believed was large enough. But what happened is a lot of the Davenport traffic on the northwest side was hitting that Walcott tower. And Raycom, in our contract, is required to keep what they call a P.01 standard. That means for every 100 calls, there can only be one busy. So when they press that mic and they get a beep showing that they can't get in, that means that they got to hit it a second later and they can get back in. And it wasn't meeting that standard. So that's why they went with the extra. But as far as Davenport, right now what we have the capability, and this will kind of give you an idea, between Bettendorf, Davenport, and Walcott, there are 26 channels. And that's as big of a system as the city of Denver has.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very robust system. There were, in that day, with the Bix Ragbri, there were no system busies whatsoever on those three tower sites, and that's very good.
Was there any directive to try to reduce radio traffic on those days? To some telling officers, please stay off the radios unless you absolutely need to be.
Yes, the reason being is because they didn't know. We had certain entities that of course we had agencies that had never been on the 800 system before, mm-hmm. So they were reluctant. You're going to be with something new. So that was a directive given by certain specific agencies, and even at that rate, we could have handled double that traffic that day. So, and that was a very good proving ground, and I think what that did is that that actually gave a little bit of security to those.
I think it's adding confidence to the system.
Yes, yes.
But there was a directive or a request?
I believe... Oh, I'm sorry. I believe... Well, and that wasn't a decision that we made. By the 100,000 calls of traffic I seen that day,
mm-hmm.
No. But I think that, and maybe Craig might be able to help answer this, but when we did the Bix Ragbri event, and this is going to be rightfully so, I'm not blaming anybody by any means, but for Davenport, it was a brand new radio system. We're talking about the radios now. It was a brand new radio system. So, you have 200 officers out there and a couple, 180 more fire personnel that are going to be reluctant of the system because it's something new. And so if they gave the directive, I think they did talk about that, keep the communications down only and directive was is only to keep it to mission critical items. No chatting, no blabbering.
That was from City of Davenport rather than from SACC?
It wasn't from us. No.
I
have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that they wanted to keep the communications down, but that was because there was so much going on. They didn't want all that chatter and blabbering going on and stuff
going
like that.
Going back to my flood days, we used to say that to him too, because there was just too many people that wanted that were coming from so many ways for information.
So there might have been a request or a directive to that effect, but it didn't come.
But it was based on the event. It wasn't based on a routine, normal type of situation. So I don't think anybody would. I think if they went through the Bix Ragbri again, I think that thought might be a little bit different. But
did
it
you hear something to that effect?
Yes, I did.
Was it from an officer?
No. So that's why I'm asking you.
I didn't hear that. I heard that our communication systems worked better than we ever could have hoped that they would work on that day. I heard that day was the day where the radio system proved its worth. That's what I heard from the leadership of Davenport Police and Fire.
And if I put myself into somebody's shoes, like maybe an officer or somebody else not knowing the systems, until that system was proven, I would be questionable too. You know what I mean? And just like the Minneapolis bridge collapse, remember when that happened?
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people that were in question whether their system could handle what went on there, because even just somebody signing on to the 800 trunk system, I believe they had 16,000 users that hopped onto that system that day. That's just users.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody's, you know, just wanting to listen in. Some of that takes channel space. So I don't think that people have that same level of fear at this point, because the system proved itself.
Mm-hmm. Have officers or police chiefs been asked or directed not to communicate with media about consolidation?
In Davenport, media questions on this topic go to either me or to Jennifer Nara.
Okay.
Which is how, so you asked Don Chez a question. Don Chez forwarded to me.
I asked that, but I'm asking because I contacted Sheriff Conard and he directed me to you, and that's I understand proper channels of communication protocol, et cetera, et cetera. Just
I think the sheriff, I told him that you were meeting out here, and he was more than willing not to meet with you. Maybe I don't know. He wasn't directed.
Okay. And individual officers are free to talk to.
Individual officers should communicate their concerns to their supervisors.
Okay.
And I know that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this organization is, in this collection of agencies, is committed to assuring that they have the best tools at their disposal. And this process is about providing better tools for our public safety providers and our other employees, including public works.